Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Got a few people on this morning. It's been a little while. We've been on break for a while, but welcome back. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and welcome to another 1 John devotional study. We are in chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 11 to 18 this morning, and I hope you're ready to dig into God's Word and to be blessed by His Word this morning. I know it's a little bit of a pun, but you know, I'm a pastor and a dad, so I got away with stuff. But got the coffee ready, got the Word ready. Let's pray for our hearts to be ready. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need you to speak to us through your Word. We need you to write your Word on our hearts. We need you to convict us of our sin and show us yourself. We need you more than we know. Our need for you is deep and constant, strong. And so, O Father, would you show yourself to us? Would you prepare our hearts to receive your Word? Would you prepare our minds to understand it? Would you prepare our souls to respond in faith to you? And may your Holy Spirit lead us to walk in obedience as your children. By your grace and for your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is our passage this morning, 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That's the word of God for us this morning. It's the message that we've heard from the beginning. I'm going to break this out into three sections and looking at each section for just a few minutes. The message we heard from the beginning. What beginning? Well, the beginning of John's gospel and at the beginning of his letter, he talks about Christ being from the beginning and then becoming incarnate. So there is a double meaning here. It's the message that we have heard from the beginning of our Christian lives. The very first notes of the gospel begin with the love of God for undeserving sinners, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In love, God sent his Son. And so that is what we have heard from the beginning. The gospel message, what we've heard from the beginning of our faith, from the beginning of our walk with Christ. But there's a double meaning, and that is the message, the word, that you've heard from the beginning. Who is the Word who was from the beginning? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the message that has come from the beginning. He, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John's gospel opening. But this Word of truth that John refers to back in 1 John chapter 1, that was from the beginning. We've heard him, we've heard Jesus, and he's ultimately our model and example for love, which we'll find out on Friday when we get to verse, as we continue to unpack these verses. we'll see this even coming up in verse 16. We'll see it this morning, but this is the message. So love is nothing new. Love is not an extra add-on to the Christian life. Come to Jesus, believe in him for salvation, and then if you get to maturity, if you reach level 12 of the Christian life experience, you might begin to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. No, it is part of the fundamental of the gospel, because there's no salvation without understanding how much God loves us as sinners who are undeserving of it. And if God loves us as sinners who are undeserving of it, we ought to love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Jealousy, particularly a sinful, evil, selfish jealousy that looks at someone else who's actually more mature, more patient, more loving, more fruitful, more faithful, and says, I hate that guy. Like, he's such a goody two shoes. He's so good all the time. Like, he's, you know, that wasn't that Cain's. Cain brought an offering of some of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and the fattest portions. Abel's offering was better in terms of what it was because it pointed better to Christ. In terms of what it cost him, it was the fat portions of the first fruits of the firstborn of his flocks, rather. And then it was better in that it was offered in faith and how it was offered. So what it was and what it pointed to by being a blood sacrifice pointing to the cross, in what it cost him being the fat portions of the firstborn of his flock, and also in how it was offered up by faith. So in every way, Abel's offering was better because Abel was offering it by faith in obedience to God, and Cain resented that. Cain hated that. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes the sinful part of ourselves, that nasty little selfish part of ourselves that rears its ugly head too often, looks at someone who is more faithful, more righteous, more mature, more fruitful, and we just say, can't stand that person. Why? Because they show us our own sin. And we don't like that, do we? And so we resent that, and it's easy to do. Sadly, it's all too natural for us. And then John says, so don't be surprised that the world hates you. I mean, if it's hard enough for us as Christians to love one another, when we see righteousness in one another that is better than our own, if that's hard enough for us, well, don't be surprised that the world hates you. The world, see, those who are in rebellion against God know that they're in rebellion against God. It's not a surprise to them. They know that God exists. They know that God calls them to love him and to love one another. They know that God calls them to faith, and they hate that, and they resent it. They pretend that they don't know that God exists. They pretend there's not enough evidence to prove that God exists, but that's simply not true. The world hates us because we belong to God. We have been made righteous by his grace. We are being made faithful by his Spirit. We have passed out of death into life, and the world sits on the other side of that and says, those Christians. Sadly, we give them ammunition all the time in our hypocrisy and in our ugly selfishness when we act like the world does. We get down in the mud and sling mud with them. We give them ammunition. But the fundamental fact that they hate us comes from who God's made us to be, and that's never going to change as long as we're in this life. But, John says, we know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brothers. That is a fundamental difference within Christ. I can look at my brother or my sister in Christ, even one who's more mature and more faithful and fruitful than I am, or someone who's struggling with great sin, and I can look at them and I can love them. How is that possible? Because I've passed from death to life. I'm no longer in my sin, dead to God and dead to the things of God. I am now in the life of Christ, alive to him and alive in him. And so that's how it is possible. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now, this is very serious. John is saying that if you willfully, wantonly, repeatedly, unrepentantly hate your brothers, you resent them, you slander them, you backstab them, you divide the church, then he's saying you're not showing the fruit of being one who's passed from death to life. He says, whoever does not love, now none of us love perfectly, none of us love to the level that we should, but whoever does not love at all abides in death, because everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. This is coming from the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. If you hate your brother in your heart, you've already killed him in your heart. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We live in an age when it has become very trendy, very popular, to be very critical, very negative, and even slanderous toward other Christians because they disagree with us on this, that, or the other minor point of theology or aspect of politics or cultural realities. And so because they disagree with us, we'll slap a label on them so that we can dismiss them, put them on a shelf, and feel self-justified in hating them and doing all sorts of slanderous things against them, rather than loving them, listening to them, praying for them. Where we disagree, and we can still pray for them to come to know the truth, and we can still honor them as someone who is a brother or a sister in Christ. This call to us is very serious. We cannot hate people, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we disagree with them. That is completely contrary to the gospel. And I don't have 16 to 18 there, do I? Nope. So let's go back up here and get it. Slide error. Sorry about that. 16 through 18. By this we know love. So what is our ultimate model for love? How do we know what it looks like to love? And how do we have the motivation to love? The power to love? It's all grounded in the cross. It's all grounded in the cross of Jesus Christ. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Jesus Christ on the cross is the definition of love. And what is it? The perfectly holy, righteous one dying for sinners who reject him. The only one who deserves eternal life and has earned salvation from God, giving that eternal life and giving that salvation from God to those who have not earned it and who don't deserve it. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We ought to do as has been done to us. We ought to love with the love that we've received. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? This gets to a real practical need. If Jesus had perfect righteousness, sinless obedience, and had earned eternal life and salvation from God, and he gave that to us at the cost of his own blood and life on the cross, how can we look at brothers and sisters in Christ who are in poverty, who are in need, who need food, who need shelter, who need clothing, and we say to them, no, you're not worthy. I'm not going to sacrifice. I don't want to be cheated. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't come up with any of those excuses on the cross. aren't you? I'm so glad that he freely gave. And he calls us to freely give. And so John closes by saying, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. The measure of Christ's love is what he did for us on the cross. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The demonstration of God's love is not found in words, and the demonstration of our love is not found in words. It's found in real life, sacrificial, self-denying, others-serving love. You see someone in need? Don't close your heart against them. If God's love abides in you, open your heart and meet the need as best you can. And will you sometimes get cheated? Yes. Will you sometimes make a mistake and give somebody money that helps them, you know, in a bad way with an addiction? Yes, that will happen. But it is so much better to be cheated, so much better to be misused, than it is to close our hearts to those who are in need, because God calls us very clearly, very explicitly in his word, to open-hearted, open-handed generosity and love. It's what Jesus did for us. And so that's what we're called to do for others through him. The call to love one another within the body of Christ and to love those who are in need within the body of Christ, it is a high and holy and urgent calling. It's a cross-shaped calling, and it is not optional for the believer. Let's pray. Father, would you shape our hearts by the cross, that the love of Jesus that has extended to us might flow through us to our brothers and sisters in need within the body of Christ, that we might honor one another, that we might pray for one another, that we might speak well of one another, that we might love one another, and that we might give to one another generously as each has need. Father, let us be the body of Christ in deed and in truth, not just in word and in talk. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you'll be back here on Friday morning as we continue our studies in 1 John. Have a blessed day in the Lord.